to do better than anything else. I say that facetiously because I'm not usually very good at titles. The one thing to do better than anything else, and I'm just going to tell you up front, I have one goal in this message today, so I'm just going to tell you what it is now. This is what I want to happen. My one goal in this message is I want to convince you to make loving Jesus wholeheartedly your greatest goal in life and the greatest cornerstone of how you see yourself. That when you think of yourself, you would first of all see yourself as like, I am a lover of Jesus. I am a worshiper of God. This is my whole life is about aiming everything at this one bullseye to love God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all of my strength. And anyone can be great at this. Anyone can be great at this if we devote ourselves to it. But it won't happen automatically. It will happen only if you're intentional about it. You have to be intentional about saying, you know what, I'm going to aim my life at loving God with everything that I am and being a worshiper. And everybody just say this with me. Say, I am a worshiper. Okay, say that one more time. I am a worshiper. Okay, this is how you need to see yourself. And something happens inside when you just make that conscious shift in your mentality. This is who I am. I'm not first a husband. I'm not first a father. I'm not first a pastor. I'm not first Dave is not first a veterinarian or whatever your career is. I'm not first an athlete. I'm not first a super buff, ripped guy, even though a lot of people automatically assume, I'm just joking. That's not who I am first. No, who I am first is I'm a lover of Jesus. I define success in life by this one thing. How well do I love him? And I break that down into, like today, it's very, very practical. It you learn to do this as a way of life. You devote yourself to do this. It's so practical. Like throughout the day, I'm thinking about, so I know what my plans are throughout the day, but right now I'm teaching. I'm like, okay, I don't want to just teach because I'm not a teacher first. You know what I am? I'm a worshiper. So God, anoint me the way I go about teaching that actually I would do it in such a way that it's a pleasing offering of worship to you. That's the number one goal. So that after it's done, I could take this sermon, put it in a package with a bow and hand it to him, and it's a pleasing offering. So that's my goal. Everybody say, I am a worshiper. Okay, I want you to get this and say, this is who I am. I aim my life at this forever, for the rest of my life. And you'll get better and better at it as you devote yourself to that. God will teach you how to do that. So in Matthew 22, verse 36 through 38, somebody came to Jesus and said, Teacher, which is the most important? Say, most important. Most important. Okay, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is a massive statement. Listen, here's the reality. Every single one of us, we're going to die, and we're going to stand before Jesus as our judge, and he's going to review our life choices with us. And he's going to evaluate everything we did in life and see how successful our life really was. And here, the judge himself, it's like the teacher, he says, you know, just so you know, this is the answer when the test comes. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for. The most important thing is I want you to love me with all of your being. Everything that you are, I want you to figure out a way to aim it at and making it an offering of worship. And I really believe if Jesus says, the guy, I mean, this is the judge telling us what's going to be on the test ahead of time. So it's like, man, this is great, helpful information. So today, if this is what matters most to you, Lord, then this is now what matters most to me. I think if the greatest commandment is loving God with all of our heart, the greatest achievement anybody can do in life is to fulfill that commandment. I'm gonna actually stand before Jesus and look at him face to face, like physically. I'm gonna look at him in his glorified, resurrected body, his eyes of blazing fire are just gonna pierce through me. I'm going to be in this atmosphere of glory with this just burning excitement about I get to live here forever. I never have to leave this place. And as I look at him, I'm still going to see those holes on his hand where the nails went through. The holes on his feet, the scars are still there, reminding me why I'm there, and why I get to enjoy all this forever. And it's going to be more real to me than ever before. Like, I did nothing to deserve this. I did everything to not deserve this. Like, the enormity of his love for me. When Jesus died on the cross, a sinful world that was at an enmity with against him. It's like he... The bridegroom on the cross, it's like he got down on his knee and proposed to the entire earth. And he says, although you've sinned against me, he's like, I still love you. This is how much I love you. I still love you. I still want you. Will you be my bride? Will you enter into a covenant relationship with me forever? I love you and I want to bless you. Like, that's how much he loves us. And we're going to see that. It's going to be more real to us than ever when we stand before him. And after that, somehow, I just imagine in some way I'll be able to pull myself together emotionally. After it's just been revealed to me, Jeff, this is how much I loved you. I'm going to be undone and overcome. And then it's going to be my turn to hand him my life and say, and this is how much I loved you. In response. And we're going to start going through the days of my life. Bible says that everything we did, it's recorded in the books because we're going to go over it together. And I don't envision that as like going over it together like, oh man, that was a bad day. Can we just skip this day? Because everything that we repent of now is erased from the books. Okay? And so, but if we don't repent of it, it's not going to be a fun page. on the evaluation day when you're going over it. But if we repent of it now, the Holy Spirit is helping us. He convicts us. We repent. It's erased from the books. And then actually we go over that day and it says, man, you did something off on this day, but look at this. I convicted you and look at your response. You humbled yourself and you repented. That's an offering of worship. I love that heart. And I imagine going over that book and I want as we read my story together, I want to be able to look in his eyes and just see him overcome with emotion at the way that I loved him, at the choices that I made. He's like, man, remember this day, Jeff? Like everything was pulling you away from loving me on this day, but you just fought against that momentum and you just fought through it to just stand your ground and to love me in that moment. Like, that moved me so much. Loving God with all of our heart, it's not automatic. I remember one time having a conversation with someone who's a believer, really loves the Lord, and we were just talking. I'm like, yeah, what are your big dreams for your life? You know, like, what are the big things? It's like, before I die, if I fail at everything, I want to do this well. And, you know, they're sharing different things. And then they came my turn and they asked me, they're like, well, what about you? What's your big thing? And I was thinking, and I got lots of big things. But actually the one thing that's bigger than them all, which sounds just so obvious, but I said it anyway. I'm like, my number one goal in life is I want to love God with all my heart, with everything I am, all the days of my life, in every season, and all the in the seasons when I'm being exalted and there's the temptation for pride and independence and to not be poor in spirit and lean on him, in the temptations where I'm offended and people hurt me and there's the temptation to withdraw and I'm like, no, I'm going to stay connected. I'm going to love people, and the temptation to sin, and on, when I'm being persecuted, when I'm being mistreated, I just want over and over again to him to see, I love you. I love you. I love you in the way I carry my heart. And he measures that stuff, and this is what matters most to him. This is success. And I said that to them. I'm like, I just want to love God with everything well all the day of my life. And they were kind of like, to be honest, not impressed. They were like, well, isn't that like, duh? I mean, doesn't every believer do that? I was like, absolutely not. Every believer does not do this. It's not automatic. They're like, isn't that automatic? Of course, everybody knows the answer on the test. You say, yeah, I want to love God well, but it doesn't mean you do it. Everybody says, I want to love God with all my heart, but then there's the doing of it, and the doing of it is rigorous, and it's hard, and here's the deal. It takes intentionality, and it's constantly realigning your heart with this one bullseye, this one goal. That's what it looks like. In this life, if you're going to excel at loving him with everything you are, you're not going to do it perfectly all the time. There's just everything around you is pulling at you away from this one focus of worship. Everything is pulling you away from it, and you have to fight against it, and you have to realign your heart over and over and over and over, year after year, day after day, over and over, and you put all the days together over a lifetime, and the Lord looks at it and says, oh, I love you the way you loved me. You were relentless. That's what I want him to say. I want him to look at me and say, you were relentless. You wouldn't let go of me. You loved me over and over and over. That's what it looks like. It takes intentionality. It doesn't happen automatically because everything around you pulls you away from it. But here's the good news. We can do it because the Holy Spirit within us is constantly pulling us back to it. That's why we can do this successfully. It's like the odds are totally stacked against us, except the mighty Holy Spirit is in us, constantly pulling us to us, and he's so superior to the strength and the pull of the spirit of this age. And I could not do this. None of us could do this were it not for the Holy Spirit drawing us back. Jeff, let go of the bitterness. Jeff, you're worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Jeff, refocus. Quit looking at your sin. Look at my mercy. I love you. I forgive you. Just worship. Jeff, you're so busy trying to win the world for me. Jeff, look into my eyes. I love you. Pulling us back. Pulling us back. But listen, if he's aiming at this, this is his bullseye for your life. He's like, I am committed. I live within you, and I am committed. I'm going to help you love God with all your heart all the days of your life. But we have to line up our goal with his goal. This is the greatest commandment, Jesus said. It's the most important. It's the number one definition of success. And when we make that our bullseye, then when he's realigning our hearts, we realize, oh, you're right. I've gotten off focus. And we realign. So how do I love God with my whole heart? I'm just going to give you five quick things. You know, because it's like, how do I do this, right? That's the thing, is when you get down to it, it's like everybody just says, of course, you know the answer. Yeah, I love God. But what does that look like on today? Like practically speaking, how do you do that? Well, I love him. Meaning, well, I just love him. What does that look like? How do you express that to him? How do you do it? And I'm going to give you five ways that you can love God with all your heart. Number one, express affection, appreciation and adoration to him. I mean verbally. Verbally. How many of you know this is biblical? Like, read the Psalms, right? Express verbally adoration to, or affection to him. You know what that means? Affection. I love you. Like, affection. I made up my mind, like, I made a conscious choice that I was going to be a man who was affectionate. I'm like, there's so many dads and husbands that grow up and they don't, you know, it's like a macho thing. It's a false definition of macho, I'll just say that. It's not a biblical definition of macho, of manliness. But sometimes it's a macho thing where it's like guys have a hard time expressing affection to their wives or to their kids. There's lots of, you know, wives who would be like, man, like, my husband actually hardly ever says I love you. Or just looks at me and says, you know, my heart is overcome with emotion. Not just like, you know, I want to sleep with you. But I mean, like, I actually like you and love you and I adore you. You guys with me? I'm not talking about selfish stuff for selfish gain. I'm talking about expressing affection. I love you. And I remember making this choice, like, when I get married, I'm going to tell my wife I love her all the time. And I'm going to tell my kids, when I have kids, I'm going to tell them all the time I love you. And I do that. But you know what? I'm going to tell the Lord all the time that I love him. I'm not just, you know, I'm not just going to be like a guy who just assumes, well, he knows my heart. He knows that I love him. Yeah, but I want to tell him. So express affection to him. I love you, Jesus. Everybody say that with me. I love you, Jesus. Amen. And then express appreciation. Like, that means thank you, Jesus. That's what that is. So it's like, I love you, and by the way, thank you. You could take hours, if you really thought through all the things you're grateful for that you take for granted and just thanked him for everything individually. You can't do it, I promise you. It's not possible. You'll wear out before you run out of things. You'll be like, geez, there's so much. And then you end up just, wow, God, you're really, really good. And that's the point. You guys with me? So express appreciation and then express adoration. That's like, you are beautiful. I love your faithfulness. As you look at specific attributes, I love your faithfulness. That's beautiful. I love your justice. That's beautiful. I love your mercy. That's beautiful. On and on and on. There's so many attributes. I love your tenderness. I love your patience. I love the way you interact with me and father me. You're a really good dad. Like, I adore you. You know, it's just adore him. This is a way that we love him. We actually, there is a dimension of our relationship with God. It's just like our relationship with people. It's like we have to tell him, I love you, thank you, and this is why I love you over and over again. Can I tell you something? Do you know that he does that to you? It's a love relationship. He looks at us, I'm telling you, and he expresses to us his affection. Ooh, I love you. I love you. And he says to us, he expresses appreciation even. He's like, thank you. Thank you. Isn't that cool? I'm like, you know, and us, we could be like, why are you telling me thank you? Like, I'm just your servant. Like, this is the least of what I should be doing, you know? But he's like, no, seriously, you chose to do that because you knew it pleased me. Thank you. And he actually does that to us. He appreciates what we do for him. And then he expresses to us even adoration. He'll say, I love this about you. And you can ask him those questions and he'll do it. But anyway, you want to do it to him as well. Number two, how do I love God with all my heart? Seek and delight in his companionship above all else. Everybody say companionship. How many of you love the presence of God? Yeah, me too. And like, to know him really is to love him. And I remember when I was newly saved, you know, I had an encounter with the Lord. I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't know you were like this. You're amazing. Like, I want more forever. Like, I never want to leave you ever. Like, let's just stay together, you and me forever. And I was so excited. Every second of my life, I want to be with you and feel your presence. And it was just like, he's so lovely. He's so desirable. There is no greater happiness or pleasure that I've ever had than just those moments when I'm with him interacting back and forth with his heart. And it's the most wonderful thing. It is the number one thing I live for in terms of pleasure. I just want to be with you. That's the number one thing. But I remember when my pastor, when I was first saved, I was probably a year or two into serving the Lord, and he preached this, which sounds like this is going to sound not profound, but to me, I was like, the light bulb went off, and I got so excited. And he used this illustration. He's like, you know, when I, because he had a great marriage, him and his wife were like excellent role models to me. And he was like, you know, I used to date my wife, and I get to spend like, you know, a few hours with her, but then always you have to say goodbye until you see each other the next day. You drop her off back at the house, you say goodbye, and you're separated. But then our hearts would long for the moment we could come back together again. He says, but then the time came when we got married. And when we got married, we got to just be together all the time. And he was like, the Holy Spirit wants to marry you. And that sounds like, okay, but I was like, wow, I get it. You know, that illustration made it click for me. I'm like, he wants to be with me constantly and never leave me. I'm like, this is the same thing I want. And he would probably say, I know, I'm the one who put the desire in your heart. I put the desire in you because it was already in me and I wanted us to come together. And I love it. So anyway, seek and delight in his companionship above all else. And I could preach a long time on that, but I won't. I probably will again later. Number three, obey him. If you're going to love him, how do I love God with my whole heart? It's not automatic. You choose to seek his presence and his companionship. You choose to express affection, adoration, appreciation. And you choose to obey him, even when it's inconvenient, even when it's difficult, even when it's painful. And sometimes it is. But Lord, what you just told me to do looks very unappealing, but I love you more than myself, so I'm going to obey anyway. How many of you have ever done something that God told you to do and you weren't happy about it initially? I could tell you lots of stories in my life. And it's like, oh my goodness, that sounds so bad. He knows. He's like, no, I get it. I mean, he went to the cross and he's like, Father, if it's possible, can you take this cup from me? He's like, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, he's like as a human being, he's like, this is not looking fun. This is really not looking fun, actually. He's sweating drops of blood. He's like, oh, this is going to be an intense day. And he knew it, but he's like, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, because he loved his Father perfectly. And he's like, listen, I live for your pleasure. And I'm yours. And he modeled for us how we live for God. That's what he did. And there's times where he tells us to do things that don't look fun, but it's like, you know what? We're going to obey you because we love you. That's why. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. That's the thing. And actually, the Apostle John goes on to say in the book of 1 John, he's like, anyone who says they know or love God but do not obey his commandments are liars. That's the literal word he uses. He just says it, black and white. Doesn't beat around the bush. He's like, liar. They're like, well, I don't really need to obey God. I can disobey his commandments in this area and this area and this area, but I really love him. John's like, no, you don't. Anyway. Number four, how do I love God with all my heart? Love others. You're like, what? What does that have to do with loving God? You know, John also said, how can you love God who you cannot see if you don't even love your brother whom you can see? It's like one of the ways we express our love for him is to love the people that he loves. That's one of the ways. And it's a big way. That's a whole message in itself. But number five, how do I love God? I tell others how wonderful he is. That's actually a way that we express our love toward God, is when we go around and our hearts are full of like, he's so awesome. He's so amazing. who can I tell? I mean, somebody's got to see this awesome part of how beautiful he is. Who can I share this with? I want to share the good news of how wonderful and beautiful and lovely and desirable he is. And I tell you, part of that is it's a natural expression of love. I mean, you look at like anybody who's engaged to be married. You meet them for the first time, and if they're like, you know, they're engaged to be married, they're totally in love. Probably within like 10 minutes, you're going to find out about their beloved. Because it's at the forefront of their mind, and it's at the top of their heart. And so you're getting to know them, and they're like, I'm getting married. I met this awesome guy. Really? Yeah. Oh, he's so amazing. And we met like, and they just love to talk about him or her. And they love to just tell their love story. Why? They're in love. It's a natural thing is when you're in love with God, your heart is overflowing and you just, he's so beautiful. I met God. I know God. And you see that in the Bible. You see that in the, when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, people come to know Jesus and they go around telling everybody how about this awesome person that they just came to know. And I'm going to tell you another expression of this fifth one about telling others how wonderful he is as an expression of love. Here's a little twist on that as well. It means that to love him means I'm not ashamed of him or his words, but I'm proud of who he is in front of others that even disagree. That's what it looks like to love him. So let me put it like this. You know, If I tell my son when I'm with him alone, man, I love you, Malachi. I love your character. I just love your personality and all this kind of stuff. I love your sense of humor, on and on and on. And then I'm with other people, and they're talking bad about Malachi, and they're like, man, Malachi's just got a weird personality, and they're this, and everybody's agreeing, and they're all kind of jumping on the bandwagon. You guys have been here, right? You've seen this before, right? This is so normal in our society. And then you kind of are just like, just are silent. Or worse, you get caught up and go along with it. Now imagine how Malachi would feel if he were like silently listening in on that conversation. Next time I come to him and say, man, I love you, he'd be thinking, how come you didn't love me in front of those people? And I if that ever happened, I wish he would say that to me so that I could say, you're right. Will you forgive me? He would forgive me and I would repent and get it right the next time. You guys with me? But it's that way with the Lord. Do you know that he's listening on every single conversation? And when people are like, oh, I don't know this about God and this about God, and I'm thinking, that's not who he is. You don't even know him at all. You're talking about somebody completely different. Guys, I know him. And I think about that sometimes when I'm in a conversation and I'm actually talking to the Lord in my heart at the same time I'm talking with people, and I'm like, you're listening right now. What can I say that would be music to your ears? Anyway, telling others how wonderful he is, being proud of him, being proud of him. And Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me or my words, I'll be in front of people, I'll be ashamed of you at the judgment in front of my Father. Anyway, I'm going to go on. Let's talk about how Jesus feels about worshipers. I'll just wrap up with this story. And then we're going to worship, actually. What's my one goal today? You guys tell me back. Yeah, worship. To convince you to what? Yes. To make this the bullseye of your life. I'm drawing a bullseye. The centermost bullseye of your life. I'm going to love him with all my heart. I'm going to be a worshiper. That's the goal. So just want to remind you. Here's how Jesus feels about worshipers. Mark chapter 14. Let's read this story together. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating... Hey, by the way, why do you think Simon doesn't have leprosy anymore? I think Jesus healed him, right? While he was eating, a woman came in with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Just imagine that picture. He's sitting around a dinner table. So there's all these people gathered around. And this woman comes into the room and just breaks open a jar in front of everybody and just begins pouring a bottle of perfume over his head. Some of those at the table were indignant. Like, they're watching this and they just get, it infuriates them, actually. It makes them mad that she's doing this. Why? This is their reasoning. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. It sounds practical, right? Like, Jeff, my heart was locked on this 26, 20 years, long ago when I first started serving the Lord. The Lord made this known to me. Here's the bullseye of your life. This is success to you, loving me with all your heart. I locked onto it, and by the grace of God, he's kept me locked onto it for 20-something years. I've been preaching this, and here I am preaching it again, and people could say, Jeff, come on. Like, when are you going to move on? We get it. Okay, yeah, we love God. Okay, we love God. Now let's get practical. Let's go take care of the poor. Let's go share the gospel with the unreached people groups, which I love doing that. Why this waste of time? Like, train us. Give us something practical. Let us go out there and give us something to make a difference in the world. And it's like, guys, there is nothing more practical than loving God with all your heart. This is the one issue. And I'll tell you this, the better you love God with all your heart, you'll love people and share the gospel much more effectively. People who are passionate about something influence others to become passionate about that same thing. This is normal in society. If you're excited about, if you're excited about the New England Patriots, like, they're the best team ever. Somebody who doesn't even care around football, but you're wearing the New England hat, you're wearing the New England jersey, and you're like, they're the best of the best. And somebody who doesn't even know, they're like, okay, yeah, I mean, there must be something to New England. And they start just getting into New England if they're hanging around you long enough. Or whatever. Or this game is the best game ever. And then, really? And they become, and this is the way society works. Somebody who's like absolutely head over heels, passionately in love with the Lord Jesus, will actually influence others to love him the same way. It is the most practical thing. But anyway, they were mad and they said so. They like shamed her in front of him and in front of everybody for her act of worship. So they scolded her harshly, it says. Verse 6, I love this. But Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? Jesus is like, you guys, Jesus, they rebuke her harshly, publicly. So Jesus rebukes them publicly. He says, actually, you guys are wrong. She's right. What she's doing to me is not a waste. This is a very good thing. And then he goes deeper. He says, you will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth. Listen to this. Wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed. Jesus is like, this moves my heart so much, I am personally guaranteeing that this act of worship will be celebrated and remembered forever in every part of the earth. That's how Jesus feels about somebody who's a worshiper. And I just want to make a few statements here. Number one is, never criticize somebody's offering of worship. And here's what I mean by that. I've heard this done a lot. You get, I remember, I'll just share it in the form of a dream. I had a dream one time where there was like this group of young people, believers, and they were like in front of a church or something like that, and they were doing like some kind of skit you know, about Jesus, you know, telling a story about Jesus. And they're doing a skit. And, you know, none of them were professional actors or necessarily that good or that musical. But it was, they were doing their very best. And they were doing it, but, you know, it wasn't technically perfect, you know. And so there were people in the crowd who were, like, gifted in those areas. And they were going, they were making fun of it to one another, you know, where they're kind of like, oh, my goodness, they're, like, terrible at singing. They're so off right now. Their voice sounds awful. But yet, in the dream, I can see the Lord's heart. He's thinking, he's like, this is moving me so much. This is touching me so much. Do you think he cares about how on key they are at that moment? He's looking at the heart. He's like, look at the way they love me. And even though they're not great at this and they're scared, they get up and do it in front of people, which can be scary because they love me and they want to testify about me to others. He's like, I love these people, but they were looking at the totally wrong, they were listening to the wrong narrative. And they were, this was their offering of worship. He was delighting in it, yet people in the crowd were mocking it. And this happens all the time. You know, people will go home and criticize the preacher. Or they'll criticize, this happens in churches all over the place. You know, they'll criticize the worship leader. Oh, I hated that song this morning, or I hated this song select. And I'm like, who are you to criticize somebody else's offering? It wasn't for you. It was for him. Or we criticize the way somebody's going about. I heard one missionary, there were these missionaries one time, and they were going, traveling around the nation, sharing the gospel with people. And I heard some other missionaries criticizing them. They're like, oh, they're not doing it very smart. You know, they should be doing it like this and this. They're not using a lot of wisdom. They should be doing it like this. I'm like, who are you to criticize somebody's offering? They're not doing that unto you. They're doing it for the Lord. That's their best. And maybe God does give you insight on ways they could do it more wisely. But, you know, if he really wants you to speak to him, he'll connect you with them, put you in relationship, and you had a heart of his heart of affection and treasuring them like he does. And then you'll be able to speak wisdom into their life, but not from a perspective of, you stupid person, you don't know anything. Listen to me, the expert. I'll tell you how to do it right. But more from the thing like, you have the most beautiful heart in the way you're sacrificing, even though you're still trying to figure out how to be more effective, and sometimes it feels like it's not working, but you just keep going. This is something I've tried. Maybe you should try this and see if it works better for you. I mean, you do it from that heart. You guys with me? But listen, it's a big deal to God when somebody's criticizing the pure offering from another believer. And often it's because we criticize it because we don't understand it. We don't see it from his perspective. We're seeing it wrong. We're seeing it from our limited perspective, but he's like, I'm looking at it from a totally different angle. I don't care how their voice sounds right now. I don't care that they just stumbled over their words. They were just working up all the courage they had to just say, do you know Jesus? You guys following me? You just want to be careful because that's a big deal to him. And I don't want to stand before him and we're going through the pages of my book and he's like, hey, let's talk about when you were criticizing this person over here. This is how what they did moved me. And then I'm going to be like, oh my goodness. I fear the Lord on that, seriously. It's a big deal in my life. So, but I want to look at it from the other angle as well. Because Jesus, I love, comes to her defense in this story when they're criticizing her offering. But what if you're the woman? And I'm just going to say this. Don't let it distract you when other people criticize what you're doing, your offering to the Lord. Because it will happen. It's just the way it is in life. It's an imperfect world until Jesus gets back. People are going to misunderstand why you're doing the things you're doing. And if you're doing it, just keep your eyes on him. And what happens is what if she would have just stopped worshiping him when she heard what they said and started trying to defend herself instead? And then she gets angry. You guys are so religious. You're so, and she starts yelling at them and criticizing them. You know what she's just done? The devil got her. She was in worship mode. And he got her out of worship mode into attack, criticize mode, just like they were in. If somebody's criticizing you, don't get distracted. Just bless them. Say, God, just bless them. Have mercy. Forgive them. And then just keep worshiping. Keep doing the thing God told you to do, and don't let it throw you off your game. I love the story of Maria Woodworth Etter. She was a prominent woman evangelist in America with incredible signs and wonders following her meetings. I mean, incredible signs and wonders. People were getting saved. And there was another he was probably the most prominent evangelist in his day at the around the same time period, was a man named Alexander Dowie, who had signs of major healings following his ministry as well. And at one point, you know, they had like, he had like stood on her stage or something like that at an evangelistic meeting, and he was like, yeah, she's a good woman and all this kind of stuff. Well, then later on, you know, he's far away, totally different part of the country. He maybe hears some things that are going on in her. He just hears the rumors, right, of stuff that's going on in her meetings that seems a little weird. Rather than give her the benefit of the doubt, he just assumes the worst, and he starts just speaking out against her publicly. So you know how people love good gossip, right? So then people take, they heard this major man of God was criticizing her. So like, they run to Maria Bubathera. They're like, hey, guess what Alexander Dowie said about you? Don't you love those people? Don't be one of those people. Be a peacemaker. Don't try to stir the pot, right? Try to bring healing and reconciliation. So they run, they're like, you know, he said this and this and this about you. But she was just, this is what's her response. She's just worshiping. Her assignment was to go and preach the gospel. That was her assignment. She said this. She goes, well, she didn't defend herself. She goes, well, basically, she goes, what? Well, I guess the truth about me and the truth about him, it will all be revealed at the judgment. She goes, but I just, the Lord called me to preach the gospel. I just got to stay focused on doing what I'm doing. And she just wouldn't enter into it because she's just like, you know what? I'm too busy loving him with all my heart, giving him my best. I don't have time to stop doing that to get into petty arguments. The Lord will sort it out in the end. It will all be revealed at the judgment. And that's exactly here. Jesus vindicates this woman, and Jesus will vindicate you when you're doing things and somebody criticizes you because they don't understand it. Don't get caught up. Just don't get distracted. Just forgive them and stay focused on worshiping. Amen. We good? All right, why don't you guys stand with me? I'm going to have Chad come up. I want to worship. I want to worship in response. Guys, I'm going to probably talk about this more. I have this so burning in my heart right now. I have hours worth of stuff to say about this, but I'm just breaking it up into little pieces. I'll talk more in a couple weeks about it probably. But guys, if I could give you one piece of advice for your whole life, aim your life at loving him with everything you are. Aim your life at that. There's nothing wiser, nothing better to do with your life than to love God with all your heart. And there, I'm telling you, you do that in this world, in this age, people are going to talk bad stuff about you at times. Just stay humble and keep worshiping. Father, I just want to invite you guys to actually commit to the Lord right now and actually sign up. Say, Lord, I commit to my life from this moment forward. The bullseye I'm aiming at in life, the number one thing that matters most, is I'm committing myself to be a devoted worshiper of Jesus. I'm going to love you with everything I am, no matter what. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to help us, to keep steering us back at that goal when we start drifting. Father, we just come to you right now to actually just say this in your own words to the Lord. God, I commit my heart. I will love you with all of my being, with my whole heart, with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength, God. If I do one thing successfully in life, let it be this, God. May I love you well every day. God, may you constantly help me, Holy Spirit, and stir my affection for Jesus. Remind me of his affection for me. Stir my compassion for people. God, help me to realign and to refocus. Give me ideas and wisdom on how I can take everything that I'm doing and aim it at being an offering of worship. Father, help us with this. Release the power of the Spirit in our hearts and minds to successfully love you all the days of our lives. Go ahead and just worship the Lord. I just want to engage him in this conversation for a few minutes.
Let the simple songs I bring reach the ears of majesty. Falling on my knees to worship you. Cause I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you. My heart. Falling on my knees to worship you. Cause I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. My heart is exploding. Yes, my
of loving God are going to be talked about in the New Jerusalem forever. Literally, he's going to make our stories now that are mostly private, he's going to make them public in the age to come. And people are going to be so encouraged, and the stories that moved his heart the most will be the ones that are told the most. Because he's like, this is what moves me. That's why. And there'll be people in the New Jerusalem will be talking about just the story of this, you know, this person, and they express love to him like this, and it's going to be talked about just like Jesus did with this woman. Seeking his companionship, I just wanted to make this point. With my wife and kids, one of the ways I express love to them is it's a major priority that I'm going to spend quality time and connect at the heart, keep a strong heart connection with each one of them. I invest hours every week. I'm super intentional about it. With make sure my heart connects with my wife, my heart connection with my daughter, my two sons, and I'm going to spend time with them and connect with them at the heart, because I'm like, I value your friendship. I value your companionship. I'm making this a priority. I love you. It's that way when we're like, I'm going to make it a priority to read the word every day. I'm going to pray and worship even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to make you my first love. So even on those days, it's like, well, I have a day off today. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to watch TV. I'm going to watch a movie. I'm going to clean the house, whatever makes you happy. It's like, you know what? I'm going to seek the Lord today. I'm going to seek his companionship today, because I'd rather watch the movie with him. I'd rather do cleaning the house with him. I want to set my heart in a conversation with him so that I can go through this thing and do it with his companionship. And actually, the act of seeking him is an expression of worship in and of itself. Even when it's like, man, that was hard. My mind was constantly wandering. I didn't feel this presence the entire time. He's like, that was a pure offering of worship to me. I love that even when it's hard, you are making it first priority. He's first love. He's not third love. He's not the fifth love. He's not like, I love my friends. I love my job. I love my family. And I love Jesus also. I hope I can get him in. He's like, no, first love. I love you first. Everything else comes after. Amen. Father, we just say thank you. Strengthen us in this, Lord. God, I know that just many here are just like, they're like, yeah, you're preaching my message. You're like, this is my heart. Lord, I pray for strength, fresh strength for all of us. God, you just recenter us on this is what we do. We love God with everything, and we're going to excel in this by the grace of God. And Lord, for those who this is a new thought, God, I just pray that this grace would be imparted to them, and that from this point forward, they just begin aiming their life day after day at loving the Lord, and they would enjoy your companionship, living for your pleasure in ever-increasing ways, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything? No?
Thank you, Chad. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's give me a hand clap. Okay, so we're just dismissing you.